Some good news during the hiring freeze. The Homeland Security Department's Cyber and Tech Hiring Fair went so well last summer, the department wanted to try it again. This time, though, DHS held a virtual hiring fair online to attract college students and recent graduates. Angela Bailey is the Chief Human Capital Officer at DHS. Sharon Wong is the department's new Executive Director for Diversity and Inclusion. They tell Federal News Radio's Nicola Grisco how the virtual hiring fair went and what they learned. The voice you hear first is Bailey's.
What we decided to do, and you're right, building off of the success that we had with the cyber hiring event, we thought, you know, let's try something a little bit different. Let's actually do this using a hybrid approach where it was both virtual and in person, because the audience that we were actually seeking this time was more students, recent grads, and interns. And so we thought that perhaps they would be a little bit more enamored, if you will, with doing things more virtually. And that way it wouldn't be as costly for folks to have to actually fly in or come into DC to do the event. And so that was kind of the premise behind that, working with all the components to figure out what kind of positions did they actually want to hire some of that new entry level talent, and then working with them, and again using the Pathways hiring authorities that were already available, we went ahead and did several advertisements across DHS wide so that all the components could actually share in the talent that was available.
And so how did the actual virtual fair itself work?
To be honest, it was truly virtual. It was a virtual and in person. So it was really a hybrid type event for us. From the virtual perspective, it was fairly simple. It was through Skype and through phone calls. And so using both, we did have a virtual as well as in person, where applicants had submitted their package before and were invited to interview. And so again, being done, all the interviews were scheduled beforehand so that on the day of or the 2 days off that they could walk in.
And I know it takes a little bit of time to get some of the numbers based on these kinds of events, but do you all have any that you can share about, you know, the number of applicants and number of positions you were able to fill?
We actually received more than 2,000 applications for about 300 vacancies. So again, learning off of one of the lessons learned from the cyber event in the summer, for that event, we had over 15,000 applications and it became unwieldy. So one of the things that we did to try to minimize that and actually to just help, quite frankly, help us manage the whole event, what we said was as we reached a certain number, whether it was 250 or 500 applicants for each of the different announcements, we cut it off. And so we purposely controlled it to where it was around 2,000 applicants or applications, if you will, for the about 300 vacancies that we had. On the day of the event, I think we extended, on the day of the event, yes, we extended approximately 40 tentative job offers. Again, we had security there. We had the HR office there. So we replicated the same successful practices that we had at the cyber hiring event. We didn't make as many tentative job offers as we really had hoped to. And a lot of that had to do with the fact that, again, some were virtual and the in-person. I think that there's kinks to work out, quite frankly, whenever you're trying to do this hybrid approach. But one of the things that I really appreciate about Department of Homeland Security, especially with our leadership, is this ability to actually try things out and not be so afraid if it doesn't go perfect. You know, so the cyber hiring event, one could argue, was almost perfect. This one, I think, just again, the complications of the way that we had to announce the job, we weren't able to use direct hire authority, for example. So it complicated it a little bit more. But at the end of the day, we still made tentative job offers. Sharon, do you know how many we're up to now, though?
I think we're up to over 40 tentative job offers currently. But you know what? This is actually open through the end of May. So we are continuing to schedule interviews with candidates that there were obviously over those 2 days that they were not available. So we're continuing to schedule those. We're also continuing to look at some of those applications. So more interviews will be scheduled. And as I said, we have through May to be able to. So we're hoping that we'll be able to offer more, put out more job offers.
Yeah, that's one of the things that we learned from the cyber hiring event is that we actually extended those, what's called extending the certificates. We left them open. So even with the cyber hiring event, incredibly, people are still continuing to hire. We're up over, I think, close to 480 job offers have been made off of that original event. So to Sharon's point, we're pretty confident that we'll continue to make job offers.
And did you get any feedback from some of the applicants for this particular fair?
Yes. You know, one of the things they liked that it was in one location. As a matter of fact, several of the applicants had interviews with multiple components. So instead of, you know, like your typical, when you apply, you just go to one at a time, the fact that that everything was in one place, all the components were there, as well at the same time having HR, security folks there at the same time, so they could go through the interview, they could get a tentative job offer, they could start the security process, get your fingerprints taken, a drug test if necessary. And, you know, especially with that EQIP process, one of the things people say, it's so hard to get it started. But if you could get it started there, then you go back and you get the information. I thought, and that was one of the best things that I thought people really liked, that you could, everything was in one place at the same time.
I think one of the things, so that we heard actually from the components themselves and the HR director, the HR directors and actually the hiring managers, is that I think one of the things they missed, though, was we didn't bring in all of our cool toys. So we didn't have a Coast Guard cutter, or the president's limo, and, you know, our FEMA response vehicles and the dogs and stuff like that. And I think that our own community within DHS would really like the opportunity to, if you're going to do it in one place again, just they want the opportunity to showcase what DHS is all about.
Do you all have the ability to pass on applications? Let's say someone applied for a position within CBP, for example, and maybe they're not necessarily qualified for that one, but their skills align with maybe a similar job open at another component. Is that something that you have the ability to do yet?
Oh, yes. So we use that for the cyber hiring event, and we use that for this Pathways. So what we do is, it's called shared certs. So what we've done is, we actually, when we do a job announcement, we put that out DHS-wide, and we let the folks come in and check off which components, which locations, where they would like to work, and then we do our job interviews based on that. So, yeah, that is a very successful practice that we won't back away from within DHS. It's actually the right thing to do.
And as far as strategic planning for all of this goes, I know that that's been a big push from OPM, particularly within the past few years or so. But what kind of planning did you do in advance to really target the right groups of students that you were trying to reach, the right maybe colleges with specific skill sets? How did that work?
So, you know, we have memorandum of understanding, for example, with 5 key diverse organizations, and they reached over 1,500 colleges and universities. For example, we sent the notifications of the open vacancies to organizations such as the American Indian Higher Education Consortium. We also reached, you know, the HACU, the Hispanic Association of Colleges and Universities, the National Association for Equal Opportunity, which is a umbrella organization for HBCUs. And of course, there's the Asian American Pacific Islander Association of Colleges and Universities. In addition, there was the American Association of Community Colleges. So it really wasn't just looking at, when we say diverse groups, but looking at a broad context of colleges and universities. There's also a DHS office that we worked with, the Office of Academic Engagement, that also we partnered with. We also partnered with our diversity and inclusion stakeholders to reach undergraduate and graduate students. We have over 170 Centers for Academic Excellence. We had 101 Hispanic-serving institutions and almost 100 HBCUs as well. So we had a good saturation.
That's Sharon Wong, Executive Director of Diversity and Inclusion at Homeland Security, and Angela Bailey, the department's Chief Human Capital Officer, speaking with Federal News Radio's Nicola Grisco. Be sure to check out her story at federalnewsradio.com.